Blog Talk Radio.
Friday the 13th.
Child Even Shy singing Words You Cannot Say, something I wrote several years ago. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretend to be somebody I'm not. It's Friday the 13th, which means it's an unbirthday party. That's right, I sent out uninvitations to all my friends, so they might not show. Okay, but then, it is Friday the 13th, like I said, in the year of our Lord, 2022. How's the year treating you? With me tonight, I have Debbie Lee, my little sister, my best friend, leader of the pack.
Hey, Hatter.
And right behind her is AP Taylor from Australia, my co-host on Saturdays. Hey, AP.
Hey, how you going, Hatter?
I'm okay. Exhausted. By this time of day, I am totally wiped, trying to get back in shape.
Right.
You know, I got new body parts and all that good shit.
Well, you know, that's important, Hatter. It's important to, you know, let all that settle down. You know, it's all getting used to each other.
Yeah. And we're already talking, my doctor's already talking about the other side. So
well,
everything I have two of, everything I have two of, they're rebuilding. Basically.
Well, it's lucky you have two of them then, Hatter.
Well,
if you only had one of them and you were rebuilding them, then you'd be in real trouble.
I, I don't want to go through it again. You don't understand.
Oh, well, I understand that.
Too soon.
Sorry.
Too soon. But it is what it is. I think we'll survive.
I have a poem for you. I wrote a poem for you while I was waiting to come on the show.
Okay, I can't go to AP right now because I'll lose the studio. And everything's working right now, so I'll listen.
Okay. That's okay. Bear with me, Hatter.
Your ear works.
Can I put my palm on? Can I put my palm on the board? Okay.
Yes.
It's an unbirthday poem. It's an unbirthday poem, but it's a quatrain. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here we go. If it's not your birthday, but fine to have those here, then no matter, I say, for always there is cheer. You don't need cake. It's not your birthday, but we can still bake and chase away grey. So get a few to play and spin those discs. If it's not your birthday, add tunes and whisk. We know that's the go, a limit to time we weigh. Still fun and games, no, if it's not your birthday. End poem.
They say it's your birthday. Gonna have a good time. Thank you, AP.
Pleasure.
Have cake and eat it, too.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
we have...
that was what I was...
As anybody that's going to partake in the libations here tonight, you're going to have to collect your keys now so we don't have to take them later. It's psychedelic mushroom tea. So careful with it.
Sounds good.
Over there in the punch bowl. Help yourself. Get to the keg, and I think those are mushroom muffins, I think.
Not a big fan of mushrooms.
Right?
I have gone years without mushrooms, and I haven't missed them.
Me either.
You know,
I'm no big fan of munching on fungus. Yuck.
I used to like going to search for mushrooms and to find mushrooms. You'd be doing that with my grandfather with a big bucket and basket. It was great fun, yeah? But I just wouldn't eat them. Horrible.
I suspect it was just spending time with Grandpa, not really the mushrooms.
Well, you see, you had to find the damn things. Yeah, they'd hide, you know? And so the whole thing about mushrooms was actually finding them. Rather than eating them, found them. That was me. I've job done, you know. But I didn't want to eat them.
Attack of regular mushrooms?
They were regular mushrooms, all right.
Well, those mushroom muffins that made me just in case rate the show R. Just saying.
Well, we got dragonfly butter. Dragonfly butter.
Oh, yuck!
But
imagine doing that to mushrooms.
Yeah, if you're going to
perfectly good muffins,
sip on the punch.
Perfectly good muffins. I mean, it might as well put carrot in them, pumpkin.
Yeah,
anything.
It's like blood pudding. What? It's not that bad.
Doesn't do it for me.
Have you had blood pudding?
No, I haven't. That's probably a good thing, Hatter. Some things you just don't want to have, yeah?
They've perfected it. It's very good.
You sure?
Yeah, it is.
Anyway.
You can order it.
Oh, that's handy. But no, I'm not a blood pudding person. Yes. And not mushroom muffins either. I'll go a quatern, you know. I'll just spin it out, but no.
Well, we bake them in the sun. We bake them in the sun on the toadstools.
Yes.
So.
Well, I guess. We had to avoid the toadstools, Adam. That was the thing about doing mushrooming, because there were toadstools and they were poisonous. So you just had to know which was a mushroom and what wasn't.
I don't know. We don't like those poisonous ones.
No, we don't.
But they will give you wings. No. These mushrooms will give you wings. So you won't be walking anywhere. They'll be flying. Stay in school. Yeah.
And I just read the ingredients for that blood pudding. Ew, no thank you.
I saw this contest. I think it was the golfers. I think it was when they went over to Scotland, I believe. Anyway, they out of the four or five guys that went, they were playing golf on some of these high wind type courses,
yes,
with no cover. The loser was going to have to eat blood pudding. So it was this big deal,
wow,
about blood pudding. Then they take the cameras, then they got the loser, and he goes to blood pudding. They give him this dessert, looks like pudding, and he tastes it, and he says, it's not bad. He says, it's actually very good. So everybody tasted it. So this blood pudding that they so wait to hate having to eat, they said, was actually pretty good. So it's not the haggis of this country, you know, England. I'm just going by that. I've never had it. I wouldn't eat that crap.
No, it's very Scottish. Sort of in my background, something I had it, but I've never had it.
Hey, had or eat anything? Here, eat this.
No.
Well, tonight, the sort of a treat, we're going to do another show on the Wrecking Crew, a phenomenon that happened in the 60s and 70s that will never happen again. And it's most intriguing what kind of secrets were kept from the public, even from other bands. It's really remarkable. The Wrecking Crew. If you haven't heard who these people were, stay tuned. We're gonna go through some history of the Wrecking Crew. Before the music industry moved out to the West Coast, to Los Angeles, they were in New York City. They had these sessions artists. These sessions artists were described as uppity, stuffed shirts that did nothing but play their instrument and the notes put in front of them, and then went home. Took their check and went home. When it went to L.A., it was infiltrated with these young musicians who wanted to be sessions, the very good musicians, who were joking, more or less had fun at work. The old guys that came out from the East Coast looked at these guys and said, these guys are going to wreck the music industry. And that's where they got the name, the Wrecking Crew. The names, I don't know. There's a couple of them you might remember. There are a couple members I know you will remember that were the part, started their careers as part of the Wrecking Crew. Leon Russell was one. Glenn Campbell is another, and Al something. He's a drummer, one of the most sought after musicians to be a part of the sessions. The number of how many were in the group is sort of undetermined because of people. How many they said because of the lax hiring procedures that the company had. But basically said there's 31 of them. Not all 31 were on the record at the same time. There is a core number, or a core group within that did play most in the sessions. Let me explain what the Wrecking Crew did. The company's commercials, they did commercials or jingles, intros for TV shows or movies. They would need some music played, so they would go to these session artists and say, this is what I need, okay? They would do it. When the rock and roll started in the 60s, there was problem with recording, keeping contracts that these groups were signing up for because of the complexity of characters between the members of any given band and the music they wanted to play. Now, don't get wrapped up in what I just said because I'm going to fly over that. The record companies found out they could take, let's say, Herb Albert and Tijuana Brass. They needed the music played. They would go to the sessions artists and say, this is what we need. D these session artists would tweak it. They would tweak it, put a stronger bass line, add to the bass line, take away anything they needed to do. They were hit masters. These guys were responsible for over 40 number one hits and over 35,000 tracks, I think. 85% of the music that came out of the Los Angeles in the late 60s were played the Wrecking Crew. Members of the bands that thought they were going to have a chance to cut their own albums and their own 45s back then, actually, were denied. One story is Peter Tork, when the band The Monkees were assembled, they were supposed to be just a TV show about a rock group, a pop rock group. But their popularity became such that they figured they better learn how to play these songs. Peter Tork and Michael Nesmith of The Monkees, they were the real musicians at first. Mickey Dolenz was hired to lead sing and eventually play drums. They got Davy Jones to play tambourine, whatever he did, and also lead sing. But when they had their hit, Last Train for Clarksville, the Monkees took off. They needed to lay some tracks down. Now, what they were told was that they were going to record some songs by the Monkees, for the Monkees, at this address on this given day. Peter Tork shows up with two guitars in hand and shows up. He goes, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm Peter Tork. I'm with the Monkees. We're going to lay some, you know, lay some tracks down for some music. He goes, no. The music's done. We just need Mickey to sing. Which set Peter back. Now, the reason this was done was the record companies could hassle with four or five 17, 18, 19-year-old musicians in a group that can't get along anyway, tried to lay down. It would take months to do an album, let alone just cut a 45 for a hit front and back. They could get the Wrecking Crew to do it in an afternoon. That's how good these guys were. The people, I'll go through the list of the different people that they made hits for, and this is what they did. They did make hits. Sometimes, for example, Sonny and Cher, they would show up with music, but they would look at it and like Carol Kay, the bassist, she was a lady bassist and guitarist. She said, "Well, this won't." She describes this in the movie about the Wrecking Crew, saying that this won't do. This bass line doesn't work. And what she would do is create her own to what key and, you know, bars artists make the music. So they are responsible. They were that good. They were that tight, these session musicians. So now, eventually, some of these group members got very concerned about them not playing the actual music on the 45. Like Midnight Confessions from the Grassroots was one of their hits, put out a 45. They eventually had to learn how the Wrecking Crew played the music in order to play their own songs live, if that makes sense. Musicians found out one at a time, two at a time, whatever, during these years that this was going to happen. They were told, just keep your mouth shut and collect the money. They were, a lot of the self-conscious promoters and band members said, no, we want you to get credit for the music that you're playing. And they go, no, we don't, you can't have us, because can you imagine if you put these people on, you'd have to list everybody in the symphony orchestra that played backgrounds on a track. It can't be done. They didn't want to be known. The record companies certainly did not want the fans to know that that's not the Monkees playing that music. That's not the Beach Boys playing that music. That wouldn't be good for the industry. The band members figured, well, we better just learn how to do it that way, make that sound, and collect our checks. But nobody talked about it. It was one of the best kept secret ever. The wrecking crew, they said, we certainly weren't going to talk about it because we were making buku bucks by making these hits. So we just would calm these people down, say, no, just smile, freaking, you know. They say, well, one drummer, I thought it was David Grohl, but I don't know if it's true. One of the more modern drummers. He goes, I was crushed when I found out my three favorite drummers from three different bands was the same guy. He says it just sort of set him back. He didn't realize, but the drummer was one of the most requested musicians of all Wrecking Crew. Tommy Telesco was the guitarist, the genius guitarist. Carol Kay was the bassist, and then you have a number. I'll go through the list of the other members who could play just about anything. Some of these session artists could play three, four, five instruments. They'd do anything from, like, the Batman intro. That's the Wrecking Crew. I think they did the Bonanza.
Get out.
I think they did the Bonanza also. Let me get to... okay, I'm just going to read this intro here. The Wrecking Crew are behind some of the biggest hits of the 60s and 70s, having pressed thousands of records. They were the pop-producing machine of the time. Okay, in the days of the Wrecking Crew, session groups were highly localized and highly in demand. Each scene or label had its own group, such as the Nashville A-Team, as well as two groups in Memphis, the Memphis Boys, and the musicians who had backed Sax Records and the Funk Brothers in Detroit, again, who played on many Motown records. Phil Spector also had the sound wall, was a more of the Western thing. None of those other groups had the effect that Los Angeles Sessions group did. The multi-track recording was common in the 60s. It was elaborate. The instrumental tracks were often recorded hot and alive as ensemble. Thus, producers needed to rely on the world-class musicians to have them on call whenever they was a part to play. Furthermore, studios would request frequently booked around the clock, and session time was highly expensive. Songs had to be recorded quickly and in the fewest takes possible. Now, I want to reiterate that you can take the five members of this rock band who are under 21 years old. They got to have their mamas with them when they're recording. They can't get along. It's going to take months to cut these albums because they know with their music. They don't know all music. To where these sessions artists, so we can just take it to them and cut a whole damn album in two days, which they did. Cost effective. It worked. The only people that weren't happy were the band members who did not know this went on and had their names put on things they had nothing to do with other than play some of the music. Now, I remember that the tweaking and the different changes that they did to the music, that's what made them hits, those hook blooms. I mean, you're talking Frank Sinatra, Nancy Sinatra, Simon and Garfunkel, many of those songs, The Grassroots, Bob Dylan, The Byrds, David Crosby, Sonny and Cher, I mentioned already. I'll pick up that list here in a minute. Everybody wanted the Wrecking Crew. The Los Angeles elites came to encompass a wide family of regulars. However, a few names that became notorious for their efficiency. Our drummer extraordinaire, Hal Blaine, who coined the name bassist and guitarist Carol Kay, one of the few female session players of the era. Guitarist Tommy Tedesco and dozens of other musicians, including Earl Palmer, Barney Kessel, Plossett Johnson, Al Casey, Glenn Campbell, James Burton, Leon Russell, Larry Knichel, and Jack Nitschke. Wrecking Crew were the band of the 60s, thoroughly trained on either jazz or classical, all players were exceptional at sight reading. And they look at a sheet of paper and they can play it perfect. They were involved with countless acts, from Nat King Cole to Frank Sinatra to Elvis Presley and the Ronettes. They were Herb Alpert's Tijuana Brass. They were Phil Spector's Wall of Sound, as well as the Monkees, Partridge Family. Initially, they were or even the Byrds. Just a few famous tunes that involved the Wrecking Crew, including Nancy Sinatra's "These Boots Are Made for Walking," Simon and Garfunkel, "Bridge Over Troubled Water," "The Association," "Windy," "The Mamas and the Papas," "California Dreamin'," Frank Sinatra's "Strangers in the Night," The Monkees' "Last Train to Clarksville," and Sonny and Cher, "Bang Bang." And not to mention the Batman theme. I was right. I remember that. The Mission Impossible theme and the Hawaii 5-0 theme. Columbia executives deemed the Byrds band member David Crosby, Chris Hillman, Gene Clark, and Mike Clark were not polished enough to play on their number one debut single, "Mr. Tambourine Man." So came the chart-busting Wrecking Crew. Despite being jazz-trained, the Wrecking Crew were more than happy to make the transition to rock and roll. Keyboardist Don Randy said, "We were all starving. You could make more money. You could make more money playing rock and roll than jazz any day. Very rarely did we have parts totally within written out for us." Explained Randy, "We made our own parts, our own arrangements. By giving us freedom, I think they were all the better records that came from." Deborah, can we go ahead and play, let's see, which ones I give you. I'm in the studio. Hold on, I can do this. Now let me finish this part here. Brian Wilson for the Beach Boys credits Kay for presenting leading creative parts for California Girls, as well as the iconic bass line for Good Vibrations. 1957, Kay was playing as a jazz guitarist when she was invited to do studio work. Her first session produced Ritchie Valens' hit La Bamba. So I'm going to see if I can find the Good Vibrations. And you can pick out. Okay, let's go to the studio. So interesting so far, right? AP, did you know about the Wrecking Crew?
No, I have to admit I didn't, Patter. I saw that you were doing them as a subject, and I started reading. So I didn't know about it until about an hour ago.
You know, you can really understand why some musicians were upset.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, they were, you know, they were usurped, for want of a better word, Hatter. Yeah, it's like, you know, they thought they were needed, but as you rightly said there, they showed up and these guys had already done for them.
Debbie's in the studio here. It's going to take me forever to scroll.
Yes.
Good Vibrations.
Under B for Beach Boys. Here it comes.
Oh, Beach Boys. Oh, by artist, you did say that. Okay, I'm still in the A's. I'm right here. Okay.
I love the purple she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her head. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. Picking up good vibrations, she's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up good vibrations, she's giving me the excitation. Good vibrations, smile, I know she must be kind.
The Beach Boys, Good Vibrations, one of the few family-oriented groups of the 60s, good representation of surfer music back in the 60s. When they did Pet Sounds, what's considered one of the greatest albums of all time by many musicians, Brian Wilson spent as much time in the studio with these session artists as he could. He wanted to make sure that his fingerprints, he didn't want the music changed unless he okayed it. These session artists, they talk about Brian Wilson and the time that he was in the studio, and said that Brian Wilson was a musical genius, and it was their privilege to have him work side by side with the music and song by song. So give, and the harmony are all the brothers and cousins, Mike Love was, so they did have to have them in there to cut the songs, I mean the harmonies, but they did have to play and let them play their own, because that's the Wrecking Crew playing that background music, not background, but playing the music. Interesting stuff, isn't it, Marco?
Well, I was just reading that up. The Beach Boys.
Well, every once in a while, I got to let you guys sort of interject, you know, get something to say about it.
I was just saying that the Beach Boys had up, didn't play any instruments on that track, and they got 90 hours of studio tape and 70 hours of tape with at least 12 musicians on each of the sessions, of which there were 17. And so when that song was released, they'd spent $50,000 just on the recording sessions alone.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a...
Yeah,
I guess it's these session artists, they would show up each day or the night before, and they would talk and say, well, what do you got tomorrow? And they'd say, well, I got Brian Wilson coming in, they were all envious that they got to stick with Brian Wilson. They're over. There was another studio. I don't know if it was Phil Spector's Sound Wall, but these session musicians had to go back and forth between these two studios.
Right.
All the time. Like I said, the session time in the studio was priceless.
Yeah.
Another one that when Glenn Campbell left the Wrecking Crew and on his own, he stipulated in his contracts that only his band plays his music on his records. He did not want
yes.
it. Not that he didn't like or trust the other workers. He just said, my band's going to be able to play this from day one. I'm not going to go through that. What the struggle of some members of other bands, you know, went through. Now, I remember there was two guys that they talked about in the movie, the documentary. It was Tommy Tedesco's son after his father's death, I guess, put together all of the interviews from the different members of the crew, the Wrecking Crew, and some of the band members and the frustrations of what they went through at the time when they learned that they helped stop them on that hit record. I invite you to definitely watch that documentary. It's fascinating. It's the best kept secret ever. Only when the drummer wrote a book in the late 90s, was it exposed, and not very big, well exposed, because I'm sure some of the Wrecking Crew didn't allow him to use their name, their interest, you know, if they didn't want to be known. It's like Carol Kay said, I'm making more money now than the president of the United States did then, whatever that amount was, but probably over 200 grand.
Damn.
The drummer, he went from rags to riches. He was living in a mansion, like the Beverly Hillbillies type mansion. He had everything. He had helicopters, planes, whatever. Then his wife divorced him, and took everything. So he goes, and then right back to rags. So he had nothing, got everything, and then had it taken away by the courts. One other story was when the production studio would come in and go, hey, we got this guy. We want to make him a star. Make him to the Wrecking Crew. We want to make him a star. One of them was, it's either Trini Lopez or Herb Albert. Herb Albert, like I said in the early reading, was Herb Albert. They were the Tijuana Brass. The Wrecking Crew was the Tijuana Brass. I found that interesting because they were always on the radio. Another one that they set up in instant fame. Some of these guys were instant millionaires overnight. Gary Puckett in the Union Gap, one of the classic voices of rock and roll. And we have some of his music we're going to be playing too. This is going on my memory and I can't be trusted totally on that, but they tweaked the music, the songs, whether they were written by Gary Puckett or other songwriters, the music was tweaked by the Wrecking Crew. And I think that's sort of backwards the way that usually goes. Beginning of the Wrecking Crew, those guys are so good. And like I said, it was cost effective for them to do that. No band was ever warned ahead of time, hey, this is what might happen, you know. You might not be playing on the hit record. Should have sent some of them in orbit. But, you know, eventually all of them were happy to collect the money, collect the money, and not mention anything. For one thing, the band didn't want anybody to know that's not them playing on that hit record. So the band members are going to keep quiet. Record company, they're not going to say anything because that's sort of because they think it was cheating. The Wrecking Crew is not going to say anything because they might end their days of walking to the roses. I mean, they were getting paid big time. So that's kept secret in the music industry. This is a phenomenon that will not happen again. the way the whole thing is set up. This is early rock and roll, so it was early production of the sound. Everything else was what they call farting on drums with brushes, stand-up bass, you know, going boom, 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 boom. When asked who were the best members of the Cracking Crew, everybody says Tommy Telesco, Al, I can't think of his last name, Al, the drummer, and Carol Kay, the bassist. She was a phenom on hit making. So, if you don't know Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, let me see how long it's going to take me to get there. Gary, G, isn't it?
Yep.
Gary Puckett and the Union Gap became a millionaire overnight also. They were the ones that had those English jackets with no collar and the buttons down the front. Famous for that. And Gary Puckett. Okay, right there. Lady Willpower, a woman, and Young Girl. I think Young Girl is the one that everybody will remember the most.
Young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl. You're much too young, girl. With all the charms of a woman, you kept the secret.
Gary Puckett and the Union Gap with the Wrecking Crew in the background playing the music. Success in the late 60s, mid to late 60s, before David Clayton Thomas and the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, the iconic voice of Gary Puckett. Great voice. Rock and roll. Now, like I said, he was put up instant millionaire overnight. By the way, Wrecking Crew did that for him. I try to find how much they did have their hands on with the music. I can't find anything other than they tweaked this, they changed the bass line here. It was very generic. So they didn't get specific of what Tommy Tessica there. Or I could tell the drummer sounds just like the Grassroots drummer. I can't remember his name. But I can tell that song we just listened to would have been the same drummer. A little haunting for these guys. Oh, we've got to go live. It's like the story with the Monkees. They had to be in, they were so popular with the TV show. And their last train to Clarksville, Wrecking Crew wrote that, I think wrote and played that, and had Mickey sing the vocals. Monkees had nothing to do with the music. They were so successful or so popular, they were even sort of pushed to, learn how to play the music. Mike Nesmith and Peter Tork were already musicians. Mickey on drums, he's got a simple set of drums. I don't think he can make all that sound off of it, but so it's a lot of recordings. I don't know. David did some, like I said, Carol Kay was one of only a few female session artists that were ever considered part of the crew. And the only girl band that I can think of that they wrote songs for was the Ronettes, which was, think of what song it was. I said it earlier. But I think it's one of the most untold stories, best untold stories in the history of rock and roll. These guys are making buku bucks. Now, let me get to... I'm going to... see if I can find the Dr. John. Dr. John was another that came out of the Wrecking Crew. Jim Gordon, who's also the drummer who played for Derek and the Dominoes with Eric Clapton. The Wrecking Crew by the mid '70s largely passed into history. A history that is created and perfectly acknowledged but perfectly represented in hundreds of timeless American hits. There's a list of them somewhere. That's in that. I find it most intriguing that Brian Wilson knew of this. Instead of fighting against it, he spent every minute he could in the session with these guys. That's genius as much as it was anything he ever did. Mr. Tambourine down by the Byrds, California Dreamin' by the Mamas and Papas, the instrumental work of the group sessions by mostly men and one woman, Carol Kay. Define the sound of popular music on the radio during the 60s and early 70s, meaning the Wrecking Crew can reasonably lay claim to being the most recorded band in history. Question, you can win. Who were the Wrecking Crew? I think I already listed them. Okay, we're the only female, yeah. Let's get to the... how I got the name... songs. Okay. Blaine became one of the crew's most sought-after members, and it estimated that he played on more than 35,000 tracks, working with bands as diverse as the Beach Boys, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, the Carpenters. Blaine's impressive drumming is one of the bedrocks of Simon and Garfunkel's masterpiece, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. During the 60s and 70s, Los Angeles producers needed reliable standby musicians who could be counted on to contribute to records in a variety of styles and delivery in a short order. Let's see, the contributions feature in pop songs, television music, theme songs, film scores, and advertisement music. The reason the Wrecking Crew's contributions to so many hit recordings were unnoticed at the time was that record labels wanted to keep it that way, maintaining the illusion that famous bands such as the Monkees always played their own instrumental parts. We all knew the game, said Kay. The Wrecking Crew was incredibly hardworking musicians. You leave the house at 7 o'clock in the morning and you're at Universal at 9 till noon. Now you're at Capitol Records at 1. You just got time to get there. Then you got to jingle at 4. Then you're on a date with somebody at 8. Then the Beach Boys at midnight. And you do that 5 days a week. Geez, man, you get burned out, said Bill Pittman, one of the guitarists. That name's familiar, Bill Pittman. There's one of these guys that ended up being, let's see if I can find it here. I'll continue with what they did. Wrecking Crew was needed for a variety of styles of pop music, from Frank Sinatra's sophisticated swing. There was a jazz influence among the session musicians. Trumpeter Chuck Finley, who played with Stanley Turrentine, Freddie Hubbard, and Lalo Schifrin, was a regular on sessions, and was drummer Frank. Oh, as was drummer Frank DeVito, who had worked with Charlie Parker, saxophonist Gene Soprano. He played on recordings by Mel Torme, Anita O'Day, Miles Davis, and Ella Fitzgerald. Played on hundreds of pop records as a member of the Wrecking Crew. Most famous jazz band in the Wrecking Crew was guitar maestro Barney Kessel, who can be heard on the classic recordings by Julie London and Elvis Presley. Kessel also worked regularly with Phil Spector and appears on records by the Paris Sisters, the Ronettes, Bobby Sox, and the Blue Jeans, Darling Love, the Righteous Brothers, and Ike and Tina Turner. Kessel was pivoted in introducing 12-string guitar to rock and pop, an instrument he used on the Crystals recordings of Then He Kissed Me. The guitarist who backed Billie Holiday on Gershwin's songs and played the mandolin on Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys. The Wrecking Crew was a session musician of choice for Phil Spector when he constructed the Wall of Sound. And they were the top of the most producers' call list. The musicians appear on songs of nearly every prominent American pop performer of the era, including the Byrds, the Mamas and the Papas, Elvis, Harry Nilsson, the Beach Boys, Sam Cooke, Carpenters, the Ronettes, Simon and Garfunkel, Frank Sinatra, and Nancy Sinatra. TV music. Tommy Tedesco was one of the core members of the Wrecking Crew, and his guitar introductions were essentially to many of the famous television theme tunes of the era, including The Twilight Zone, Green Acres, Bonanza, MASH, Batman, Mission Impossible, Hawaii 5-0, and with film scores such as Born Free in 2008, his son Danny Tedesco made a documentary film called The Wrecking Crew, which won the Idaho International Film Festival Award and Best Documentary. Who was Carol Kay? This lady is fascinating. She's still with us, too, I believe. Carol Kay was asked to fill in as a record session at Capitol Records in 1963, and word quickly spread in Los Angeles music circles that her brilliant electric bass playing was a valuable commodity. Carol Kay was the greatest bass player I've ever met, said Brian Wilson. Kay is reported to have played on 10,000 recorded sessions, including with Sinatra, Stevie Wonder, The Supremes, The Temptations, and The Four Tops. She created some iconic rock bass lines including California Girls for the Beach Boys and The Beat Goes On for Sonny and Cher. She even came up with the bass structure for the theme from Shaft. Problems being the only woman, she said that with the Wrecking Crew. So though she's the only girl from the time when it's to the core, when they first moved out to L.A. Wrecking Crew solo careers. Barney Kessel was something of an anomaly among the Wrecking Crew because he was making successful solo albums for Verve Records while he was also doing session work. However, a handful of Wrecking Crew's members also went on to make big names for themselves. Glenn Campbell played on the Righteous Brothers' You've Lost That Love and Feeling, Sinatra's Strangers in the Night, and for the Beach Boys, the Elvis Presley before he became famous in his own right as a country music singer. Pianist Reuben Mack was also a member of a revered session gang, played with everyone from Sonny and Cher to Frank Zappa before he returned to New Orleans and found fame as Dr. John. That's who he is. Leon Russell was also 16 when he moved to Los Angeles to work as a session musician. He played on albums of the Beach Boys, the Rolling Stones, Jan and Dean, Bob Dylan, and Herb Albert before going on to find solo career, fame. What songs would we know? Okay. There are simply too many fantastic songs to list, but among the best-known Wrecking Crew songs, too many to list. Get this. Wrecking Crew songs that have not already been mentioned are Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Made for Walking, Presley's Can't Help Falling in Love, Viva Las Vegas, and Jan and Dean's Surf City, Simon and Garfunkel's Mrs. Robinson, Sonny and Cher's I've Got You Babe, the Ronettes' Be My Baby, the Crystals' He's a Rebel, and the Monkees' Last Train to Clarksville. Holy Christ. Overachievers, man. The late Larry Knechtel, who later became a member of Bread, that's the guy, was still working as session music in the 21st century, including for the Dixie Chicks. Knechtel played keyboards, bass guitar, and harmonica as a member of the Wrecking Crew, and said that they were young musicians in the right place at the right time. It was a lot of fun, and we were all young. I was making big money and hearing myself on the radio. Knechtel's piano introduction on Johnny Rivers' 1972 version of Rockland Pneumonia and Boogie Woogie Flu is an example of the class musicmanship of the session musicians or less well-known members. Members of the Wrecking Crew also lit up Richard Harris' version of MacArthur Park, which was written by Jimmy Webb. Drummer Hal Blaine said that one of the favorite Wrecking Crew-driven songs was another Webb song, Up, Up and Away by the Fifth Dimension, in 1967. The song swept the boards in 1968 Grammy Awards, winning Song of the Year, Best Pop Performance by a group with vocals, Best Contemporary Song, and Best Performance by a Vocal Group. The guitarist on the memorable record was California Al Casey, who stayed out the limelight and ended up as a music teacher in Phoenix. The Wrecking Crew were the unsung heroes of so many hit records, said Nancy Sinatra. Interesting. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall for most of that. Yeah, they said the Duff shirts that were in New York, the session artists, very few of them came out west to L.A. when these guys showed up. They were showing up in suits and ties and most proper hair thing. These guys, the Wrecking Crew, were showing up in cutoffs and sandals and, having fun, which these other guys could not. about it. Couldn't hang. So, okay. Now, with all that said, what do we have to say? What do you think about the Wrecking Crew, Deb? I just fall in love with these guys all over again.
No, I think it's fascinating that their hands are everywhere. I've heard you talk about them before, but I didn't know how extensive their reach actually was. Plus, I get a kick out of how much it fascinates you while you're talking about it. But listen, Hatter, we're at the hour mark. There's a recording that R.S. Morris put on that I think you'll think is pretty cool. So maybe we can do that before I head out.
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
Okay. I put the link on the board, and then I'll push play, and I'll leave after we comment. So here comes R.S. Morris.
I was a product of the 50s. 60s music was grand, but in my humble opinion, nothing is better than a 70s band. I'm speeding into a new sunrise. Once I had a love, and it was a gas. Well, I really don't mind the rain. Some fools fool themselves, I guess. Rhinestone shades or cheap sunglasses, would you still remember me? Running wild and looking pretty, I'm not too blind to see. Means you'll meet me in the hallway. Night is young and the music's high. She keeps nagging at you night and day, every time you walk by. No more teachers, dirty looks, nothing to kill or die for. You can check out anytime you like. Oh Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. Like the sweet song of a choir, I'm coming home, I've done my time. Where I'd heard the music years before, don't need reason, don't need rhyme. What'll you do when you get lonely? Cause you know it don't matter anymore. Love hurts, love scars, through the screen and across the floor.
Is that a new piece, or was that older?
It looks like it's from a year ago. It's got two awards. He had it in two contests and medaled in both. My head was going crazy because every time he would hit a line from one song, he would go into another one. I mean, my goodness, yeah. I think there was everybody from the Rolling Stones to Tony Orlando and Dawn in there. Means you'll meet me in the hallway, knock three tiles on the ceiling. I mean, if you go, I think there was some Hotel California. There was some Rod Stewart's Maggie May. I mean, I was very impressed with all that.
I heard American Pie.
And he had Love Hurts playing in the background. I really like how this.
Yeah. Background. I wonder where he got the musical score from of his. Cool. Thank you, R.S. Morris, right? What do you think, AP?
R.S. Morris, yeah. Did you recognize the songs as it was being read, AP?
I did. I liked the little bit of Hotel California, and I liked the... there was just a lot of lines there, and I was just trying to work out what they were, like you, and you'd go on to the next one and you hadn't quite recognized the next one, last one had come from, you're on to the next one. But it was very clever. How we put it together, because it runs forward, even though the lyrics are from so many different songs, so it's a clever thing.
I'm sorry, I had to step away.
And that's okay. We were praising the poem. I think it's really awesome.
It is. It is. He always has. He's got a great voice, too.
He does.
Oh, one thing that this, the Gonzo recordings, where are we at on that?
Yeah.
Is there...
The one that you see there in the studio is for tomorrow night. It's part three of, and I think it's a five-parter. So we'll present part three tomorrow. And just speaking of that, I did reach out to him and tell him that it was my fault, and I apologize to you guys for not having it loaded. I don't know what happened. But, like I said, we'll do it tomorrow. But, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, AP.
No, I was just saying, I it was one of those things where I just sort of, I knew he was on the board, and so I was looking for it, and I just, it just wasn't around. I was just really, it was just disappointing because I knew he was sort of hanging out for Europe. So, but look, you know, one of those things, Dev, we put it on, and as I said to him, we'll have it.
Yeah, he was fantastic about it when I told him, you know, that, like I said, it was all my fault. I even said to you when I asked you if you could cover it, that it was there, and I felt really bad when I got back and found out it wasn't. But anyway, he's cool. We'll hear it tomorrow. And on this note from the brilliant poem that I just saved by R.S. Morris, I have to go because I got a 40-minute ride to go get my son.
Okay.
Now, question, should I just, I can leave and just leave my phone sitting on the sofa and I'll hang it up when I come home, or I can hang up and you can dial in as host, AP, which do you prefer?
I'm just as happy to have your phone sitting there as host, Deb, if that's okay.
Okay,
that's
perfectly fine. All right, guys, I will talk to you tomorrow. Great information.
Cool. Okay, sis.
Love and respect,
thanks,
guys.
Deb.
Drive safe.
I'll try.
And there goes Debbie Lee. And just us, AP Taylor. I keep watching Aussie Gold. Got these different crews that are searching for gold all over your beautiful country.
Well, it's different. The gold is different. Go after it different ways, Hatter, as you've seen. So, you know, it just depends on who you are.
Yeah, it's still out there. My Lord. And they keep finding these nuggets. They're mine. Could have been there. For those that don't know, AP Taylor was so kind to invite me down to see his country. We were looking for a window of opportunity to fly me down when the COVID hit.
That's exactly what we were looking at. Fly.
That shut that down. Yeah. I had my passport and everything. And the powers that are at work to try to keep me from seeing Australia are huge. But we shall overcome.
It's only been a couple of years, Hatter. That's been the total sort of length of time of the wonders of COVID. It's been a couple of years. But, you know, as you rightly say, we will overcome. These things are sent to trial and make our life hard for a short period of time, but we will get it through. So,
It just weren't ready for me yet.
That's right, Hatter. Certain stars had to work their way into a different forms of alignment for it to happen, but that's okay. We'll work it through. So
I can drive on the wrong side of the street, on the wrong side of the road. I'll come down there. You have to hire me as your chauffeur. I can wear the suit and everything.
Having done it a couple of times, it's not for the faint-hearted, because you're hardwired for which way the car's going, and
I know.
And it's really easy to change it, but it's not. It really isn't. So, a pedestrian,
I actually have nightmares. I have nightmares. The wheel's on the wrong side of the car, right?
Well, give you an idea, Patter. When I was frequently going to the United States,
I wouldn't drive any time, but I would have to be a pedestrian and cross roads and all that stuff. Because I wasn't sure about which way the cars were coming from, I forced myself to look both ways twice.
I actually have
left and right and left and right.
Well, in these dreams that I have, it never goes well.
Oh, that's not good.
Not that I can't do it. I just, it's going to be different.
Yeah, I'm good. That's what you're telling me. No. It's so, but that's not surprising, because it's not easy. As I said, I don't want to be silly about it, but it's not straightforward, because you get hardwired for these things and you don't even think about it. You know, you'll go to cross the road and you'll automatically look in the way that you've always looked.
And you're just afraid of being getting too comfortable and pulling down the wrong way. That's not good.
Well,
not a good thing.
Well, that's right. And so, you know, you come down here and I'll do the driving. It's easy. You know, I've got a perfectly good car. We drive around. But you will find it strange, because everything's the wrong way around.
Seems that way. But you know, it's through the looking glass on the other side of the world, so it's got to be backwards.
Well, it's you know, it's not just the cars. It's the horse racing. It's the, you know, everything goes the other way. So, you know,
well,
you purchased
car for when I got down there. Is that right?
Well, I actually ended up giving it to my son, Hatta, but yeah, I did have one ready. So, let's just see. I mean, we won't, you know, in the first instance, let's just get you down here for a month and see how it goes and get you used to the place first. Because there's going to be a bit of you know, sticker shock of getting on a plane for 18 hours and then waiting 3 hours to get customs. And, you know, that's a fairly decent trip. And it'll take a while to get used to just the travel, I think.
I could be a taxi guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Or an Uber guy or whatever. I mean, as I said, I think... for those people who haven't travelled a lot, the trip down here is a decent trip, and it'll take 2-3 days just to get your head around the time zone and where you are. And then the places we need to go to, like, I can't just, you know, rock out the back and find gold. You've got to, you know, get on the road and pay to get to the right place to get gold. So, you know, the places we want to go to are not next door, so we've got to travel there as well, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna go down to Gold Fields, find my gold, and be happy. It was a dream of mine since I was a kid. And it was pretty much packed away like that ain't gonna happen. And then you were so kind to mention that. I thought that was great. So it's back on the front burner.
Oh yeah, no, it'll happen. It's just a matter of when it happens. If it's a when, and it's more around just the timing of everything keeping getting running again, and it's all happening. It's just happening a little bit slower than we all would have hoped, but it is all starting to, you know, free up again.
Yeah, I can't wait to see downtown Melbourne and Victoria. I can't wait.
It's a great city.
Get things wrapped up here. Got to get all my body parts working and replaced.
Well, you need to make sure that you're in one piece, and so do I, after all of my strange, weird, wonderful little disasters of the last few months. So, you know, once all those sort of things work their way through, you know, we'll be in better shape. But, you know, it'll happen. It's, as I said, just one of those things that, unfortunately, you know, COVID's gone and stuffed up so many things it's not worth talking about, and there's another one. So
Yeah, you know, the scenario of we're going to be living with this the rest of our days, very, very coming true, looks like. The masks and the... Every winter there'll be a new strain scare, some, you know, and it's going to...
Yeah, look, I think, you know, what it will slowly work its way through, Hatter, you know, and we'll have a few scares as we go through, but like all these things, it'll slowly just become part of the background, you know, and other things will...
Yep.
You know, so, you know, it and still we've got, you know, breakouts of the bloody thing all around, and that's hard and difficult and painful for not just those people who have the illness itself, but, you know, there's a very, very tired group of nurses and people out there who've been, you know, working full flat strap for years, and they're the people I feel sorry for, Hatter, the nursing staff and those people who haven't had a break. Yeah.
Yeah, and those that left aren't coming back.
Well, not anytime soon, Hatter. Just because the conditions that they've had to face have been, you know, so awful. And I went to my GP yesterday, and I've been doing a lot of sessions over the video conference with them, but I had to go there physically to have stitches taken out. And there's these... all these notices around the place that never was there before, saying, "Don't be aggressive or nasty to staff. You know, we won't tolerate being spoken to badly and stuff." And they're all over. And I was like, "Holy moly! You know, that's obviously a big thing. Or they wouldn't be putting all these signs over the place." You know.
Yeah. Start reading the labels.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yours are. Yours are sort of freakish. There's nothing you could prepare yourself in any way. It just happened.
Yeah. Look, it came out of you know. I think there were certain people who thought it was going to be pretty bad. And I was one of them.
You're the miracle man. Miracle man.
Sorry, Hatter?
You're the miracle man.
No. It doesn't give me any good joy, Hatter, to when I'm right about things. It really doesn't. But this was always going to be nasty.
Are you keeping a journal of all this stuff happening?
About what I said and when?
Just what's been going on the last couple of years? Or...
No, I haven't. I mean, it's just been more important for me, you know, because you run these businesses and you have to give of what's happening and what's going on. And it was an important piece of perspective for the people that were running the businesses that I look after that I basically said, look, this is... not a small thing, it's a big thing. This is going to go for years, and we're in it for a marathon rather than a sprint. And I think all of that was important to get people's headset the right way, Hatter.
Somebody could run across your writings years later. It could become a movie for TV.
Yeah, I guess. Not a good one, but yeah, I guess. I was talking about bloody Four Horsemen of the Friggin' Apocalypse and all this sort of stuff back all that time ago.
Do they have names? Do they have names?
The Four Horsemen?
Yeah.
That's a good question, actually. Let me have a look. I always just called them the Four Horsemen, but that's just, there are only four of them. And, you know, that's
our canyon.
For me. But, yeah, well, like the yes, I guess. But let's have a quick look. Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Okay. Death, famine, war, and conquest.
Time. That's it, huh? No last names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, nasty. Nasty. So, and, yeah, I didn't like all of the things back a couple of years ago, and I just thought that everybody was underplaying it a bit, Patter, when it first started, and it worried me at the time, and so yeah.
Yeah, worried all it worried us too. Dang.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that was
Yeah.
I mean,
so
I think
this,
go ahead. Sorry, Heather.
Oh, I was just going to play another song that we know the Wrecking Crew was part of. Now this is the other. This is the Grassroots. If you listen, if you remember the song we played earlier, the Gary Puckett, Young Girl.
Yep.
Listen to the drummer. Now I'm not sure if this track is going to have the. I know the couple songs that he sounds the identity of that drummer would come clear if you listen to it. This song. I'm not sure if it is going to be highlighted that way. It's Midnight Confessions. Midnight Confessions by the Grassroots. That's Carol Kay, the bass. Roots, Midnight Confessions, another number one hit for the Wrecking Crew. But if you listen to that drummer, that's the same damn drummer that's on Young Girl.
He's very distinctive.
Very, very much. It's that backbeat.
Yeah.
It's a number of songs. Yeah, this Wrecking Crew, man, I get excited every time I'm able to plan this. This is the second time. I think it was due. It's been over a year, I think, since I did the first one.
Yep. Yep.
Probably close. And in researching it, I find more and more stuff that I didn't know before. It's like these guys didn't want to be known. They didn't want to be known. They didn't want to be out there, and they were doing. They thought they were doing everybody a favor, which they were. They made rock stars out of guys that might not groups that might not have made it. They forced them to become better musicians. They made money from the recording studios, the television stations. They made everybody money. This is a win-win-win across the board, but they kept it a secret.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about the Monkees before.
Yes, we did.
And this is the key.
Ah, I love this.
Oh, I could hide beneath the wing of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. What's your drink? And I ran, wiped the sleep out of my eyes. We're shaving.
Another group that was, Davy Jones singing Daydream Believer for the Monkees, one of the songs that he did, was the lead sing for. He came from a vaudeville, his parents were vaudeville actors, so as a young age, he was always on stage. Very talented young man. The same position of the Monkees in the band for the TV show as Charlie Manson tried out for, believe it or not. Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, that was another band that the Wrecking Crew wrote or did the music for. One listed was Mrs. Robinson, great song from the Graduate, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, another good song, and I believe this one, The Greatest Poem Ever Sang.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath a halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed. People bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls.
Sound of Silence, Simon and Garfunkel. What can you say? I think that's one of the greatest poems ever written, AP.
Yeah, it is. It's a sort of sounding and a salient call, Hatter, for all of us not to sit there and just let things just be. And it's a call to be forever vigilant, you know.
Well, we're down to 25 minutes, I guess. So we can pack up any time.
In your hand,
I've got other music to play. I wanted to play a couple of those songs that I had Deb load up. That
yeah, of course.
Yeah. Now this is a song given to him by Sonny Bono, given to the Wrecking Crew. They looked at it, and Carol Kay looked at it and said, the bass line doesn't work. So she creates this bass line in this song, which is, whether you hear it or not, those are the hook, the power chords, the hook line, the bass lines are what tickles that feather in your ear when you like a song.
Yes.
The beat goes on, Sonny and Cher.
Beat goes on, beat goes on. Drums be found in a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee, la da 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 da. Charleston was once the rage. Uh-huh. Teenage
on. He goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-da-da-da-dee. La-da-da-da-da. The grocery stores are super mile. The war. Electrically, they keep a baseball score. And the beat goes on. The beat goes on.
Sonny and Cher with the Wrecking Crew. Everybody wanted to be a rock star. No, the Wrecking Crew didn't play with me. I did. That's Tom Petty playing So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. The song by the Byrds. No, the Wrecking Crew didn't play that. I did. Just saw it in the file. I had to play it. Tom Petty. My favorite guys. Well, I knew I was running out of time. I thought I could find a certain picture that I could post in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That's got going into complete. Yeah, it's gonna be tough finding it in there. Maybe a couple of myself.
Yes.
And I look a little like Tom Petty.
Yes.
With a guitar.
Well, there you go.
See, I'm going to my vast array. I was hoping that I could recognize the album or the file it's in, but I don't. Well, I had a fun night. This was good. It was well needed. I wanted to definitely do another night for the Wrecking Crew. Okay, now what do I do? Share it. Come on, don't. I want to. Okay, it's not giving me the option to copy this. Okay, all right, never mind.
Sorry.
Okay. Every time I pick something up and read a little more about the Wrecking Crew, I learn a little bit more. Must have been a hell of a ride. I remember during the movie that the son of Tommy Telesco created with the name The Wrecking Crew. Go see it. Pick it up. You can find parts of it on YouTube, if not the whole thing. And watch it. It's fascinating. Tommy Telesco's wife, they interview her, and she said at one time she told him, the guitar or me. You can't have both. She was so sick of him being away so much. And he said, he came back and said, the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Said later, she says, I got back with him and I asked, why did he pick that one right then? And he says, because you have legs. He was in love with the music. He could, if he put down the guitar, it would never forgive him and he probably would lose it. He could always woo her, get her back, I guess is what it meant. You had legs, he could come back. But he was quite the character. He's the one who probably upset the old stuffed shirts more than anybody, and he was one of the original core members, Tommy Tedesco. Tedesco, yeah. But yeah, go out and find it on YouTube. I'm sure there's a video of it somewhere. The Wrecking Crew. If you didn't know who was playing your favorite music in the 60s and 70s, if you're that old, you do now. It wasn't who you thought it was. But, yeah, like we said, it surely made some of these guys better musicians. Scared to death. Oh, my God, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Had to learn. And I'll tell you what, Carol Kaye, if you listen to those bass lines, the beat goes on, the beginning of that. It's in all, in that power drumming. Yeah, it definitely sounds like, I'll have to find out who it was that said, my favorite three, as I was quite upset when I found out my three favorite drummers from back in the day that inspired me to be a drummer was all one guy. Speaks heavy on it. So, well, I had fun, AP. How about you?
Yeah, no, well, good. Had her up. Well, we'll be back tomorrow, and we're talking Venom.
Venom, because we are Venom.
Venom.
Yep. Can't wait. I'll be there, I'm sure.
Yes. Deb will be there.
California breaks off.
Because
California breaks off into the ocean. I'll have, there it is. I'll have beachfront property if it does.
Well, there you go. That will mean it's worth more money, huh?
Okay, done. I keep messing with this file. I shouldn't do that. I didn't enjoy it. All right. Well, you've been listening to A Team of Voices on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jay Hatter, was a host for the night with my friend AP Taylor from Australia. I think anybody out there listening, we know you do. Give yourself a pat on the back for sticking with me for so long in my ramblings. Tomorrow night, Venom. Then Monday, Deb has her prompt. Don't know what it is, but check out Deborah on Monday night in our groups.
Oh, I can tell you what it is, Hatter. The prompt for Deb on Monday is send in the clowns.
Oh, the clowns. That's right. Pick a prompt.
Send in the clowns, and there is a variety of clowns there for you to have a look at. And there is, of course, it's after the wonderful song by Out of a Little Night Music by Stephen Sondheim called Send in the Clowns. Number of people
go ahead.
A number of people have done versions of that song, so we will have one of those versions to head off the program, and I'm sure another one to finish.
Yeah. I'm running back to the studio. That is not it. Oh, crap. Okay.
What's that?
I just frustrated, can't figure out why I go to, I switch back from Blog Talk to All Poetry. It kicks me off. It closes that tab. And
it's been doing that
to
me. Honestly, it's been doing that to me too, Hatter. It's very, very strange. I can't tell you why. Maybe it's the version of the what we're on. Yeah, but very, very strange.
Yeah, and I'm no longer logged in. Let's see, if that's no. I am studio.
You are.
I'll be there.
I'm there now.
TK dropped. Did you drop? Yeah.
And well, Deb's still there because they're on the.
Were you gonna hit it or was I? Let's see. We're gonna play one more song. Thanks for hanging with me, AP. I know
that's okay, Hannah. Which one are you gonna play?
I don't know. I'm scrolling as I first see.
I'm just
something.
Seeing if there's one here. Might be here. I don't know. Look, I'm just looking at all the songs that are there.
Oh, okay.
In that list.
How about this one? I got one. Adele. I really do. I think Adele is one fantastic singer. And this is one of the songs I find just remarkable. It's a song for the times, one of her early albums, I guess. And it's not Rolling in the Deep. It's Fire for the Road.
My hands still strong, but my knees were fine.
I like going to the these countries that got talent. And Australia's Got Talent. There's a guy, a kid named Jack Viger, who sings this. Who sings this song? If you go on YouTube, look up Jack Viger, V-E-G-E-R, and Fire to the Rain. It is an outstanding version by a 13-year-old kid. I want to thank everybody for calling in, for listening. AP Taylor, always a pleasure hanging with you. Thank you. And next time, I'm Jay Hatter. We're out of here.